On Valentine's Day 1970, a new novel by Eric Segal hit bookshelves. It was called Love Story, and it was based on the screenplay for a movie that hadn't even been released yet. The 125-page book sold more copies than any novel that year. Joe Britannia, then a college hockey goaltender, remembers it.
It was the type of book you could start reading when you got on an airplane and finish it before the plane took off.
The movie was released later that year.
From the most widely acclaimed new novel of the 1970s, Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill star in the number one bestseller by Eric Segal, Love Story.
Like the book, the movie was panned by critics as shallow and pointless. Spoiler alert, it's the tale of college students Oliver Barrett IV and Jennifer Cavalieri. He plays for the Harvard hockey team. She studies music at Radcliffe. They fall in love, get married, and then she dies. But the filming of the movie presented a challenge, and that challenge had to do with hockey. Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story.
One day in early 1969, Harvard hockey coach Bill Cleary was in his office. He got a phone call from film producers Howard Minsky and David Golden.
And they said, look, we got this movie we want to make. Eric Segal gave me a name and number. And we'd like to come up and talk to you.
Eric Segal and Bill Cleary's brother Bob graduated Harvard in 1958. Bill and Bob had played on the Harvard hockey team and led the 1960 U.S. Olympic hockey team to a gold medal.
They needed people that could skate, so I said, hey, we got the Harvard hockey team.
The producers said Bill and Bob Cleary would also get to appear in the film. Bob is a referee, and Bill is the body double for leading man Ryan O'Neill. And they would advise the skaters in the hockey scenes. Bill imagined a big Hollywood payday.
So I said to them, give me half of 1% of the revenues.
Minsky and Golden said no. Bill Cleary settled for a contribution to Friends of Harvard Hockey and new blazers for the team. In December of 1969, filming began at Harvard's home arena. The skaters included players from Harvard, and there was one Boston University player who could speak French. He was cast as a French-Canadian opponent who gets in a fight with Oliver Barrett. Joe Britannia was an 18-year-old freshman goalie for Harvard. He skated onto the set wide-eyed and ready to go.
You're excited to be part of it, but then when you were actually showing up, it was a very tedious project.
You shoot a scene, but then you'd wait.
They might adjust the camera angle or the lighting, and you were there all day.
Some of the shots, we went through 15, 20 times.
The movie's first hockey scene shows a Harvard rush. The action is shot from just above the ice surface.
And in goal, Ackerman assists Barrett.
The camera was at ice level.
I actually ran that, it was like a sled almost.
The sled was simply a camera mounted on a piece of plywood. Cleary's job during that scene was to push it the length of the ice as it trailed the skaters. He had to do that a lot because one player, he's not sure now who it was, had a hard time following the script.
And he was going in on the goaltender, and he was supposed to score. But he missed so many times, I'm saying, put the puck in the net.
Well, you told him that during the week, too. So
Cleary had a much tougher time with the film's co-star, Ryan O'Neill.
Oh, he couldn't skate. He couldn't handle a puck or anything.
They'd shoot him from the waist up, and he'd be moving his eyes and his head like he was scanning the ice, because if you saw him from the waist down, his knees were together, he was over on his ankles. He's a Southern California guy who didn't know how to skate.
There was another problem. Ryan O'Neill had a full head of wavy blonde hair. The 35-year-old Cleary was follically challenged. But someone in the wardrobe department came up with a solution. Customize Cleary's crimson hockey helmet.
So they sewed the wig in it so I could look like Ryan.
The wig was bushy and blonde.
When they called for his scenes, I remember they'd put the helmet on and some guy would come out with a brush or comb and they'd comb the wig.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a kick. You know, we were still relatively new to Billy as his players. I mean, to see our coach getting his hair combed or his fake hair combed, we got a pretty good kick out of that.
They may have had the same hairstyle, but Ryan O'Neill didn't share Bill Cleary's views about one of hockey's unwritten rules.
Someone comes up to me and said, Ryan is walking on the cement with skates. I gave him a little heat about it. I said, you don't do things like that.
But Cleary says O'Neill walked on the concrete the next day, too.
Well, I really unloaded on him. I said, who the hell do you think you are? I could care less about you or Hollywood or anyone else.
Cleary says O'Neill avoided him after that. Cleary wondered whether he had stepped on director Arthur Hiller's toes when he chewed out Love Story's leading man.
And I went up and apologized to Arthur Hiller. He says, oh no, I'm glad you did it. He's getting unbearable.
Scenes were shot at Harvard's arena for two different games. A home game against Dartmouth, and an away game, sort of, against Cornell.
They probably had 200 extras. And depending on where the scene was being shot, those 200 people moved from section to section.
Cornell goal, Pesce. Score time, 3-3.
And the same people, they would either wear a white and green scarf if they were Dartmouth fans, and a white and red scarf if they were Cornell fans.
The shoot wrapped up after 3 days.
And they were long days, let me tell you. It was a wonderful experience, and I have a little bit more appreciation what it takes to make a movie.
On December 16, 1970, Love Story opened at cinemas across the country. Bill Cleary and Joe Britannia attended the premiere at a Boston-area theater, along with about 1,500 of their closest friends.
I thought the hockey scenes were pretty good.
But once the thrill of seeing himself on the silver screen, albeit briefly, had worn off for Britannia, reality set in.
I thought it was a little sappy. It was kind of simply tugging at heartstrings and a story that wasn't completely believable.
There were some editing issues, too. Like when Oliver has an in-game conversation with Jenny.
Why are you sitting here when all your friends are out there playing?
I'm in the penalty box.
What?
I'm in the penalty box.
What did you do wrong?
Barrett sits in the box wearing number 7, the same number worn by body double Bill Cleary.
And then the camera shows number 7 skating by, so they missed that one.
But since when did continuity problems or general sappiness derail a half-good tearjerker romance? Love Story was a box office smash. It's taken in over $100 million since its release. Cleary chuckles when he acknowledges that his proposed cut of half of 1% would have been a half million. But it did give him and Britannia an experience they'll never forget.
How many times does an individual get to make a movie or be a part of it?
We haven't made any sense, Billy.
No, we haven't. And I don't think it's going to happen again, Joe.
No, I don't
Joe.
Think so. I tell people I didn't want to get typecast as a goaltender, so I've been rejecting scripts ever since.
Even so, Britannia hasn't managed to shake his 15 minutes of fame. Once, in the early 90s, he recognized a familiar face at a state dinner in Washington, D.C.
We knew her as Pinky. It was her nickname when she was at school.
From 1969 to 1973, Pinky Buto was an undergrad at Radcliffe College, the school Jenny attended in the movie. Pinky loved hockey and knew all the Harvard players. She would later be more widely known as Benazir, and also as the Prime Minister of Pakistan. Britannia spotted her from across the room.
So I started walking towards the table, and she's sitting with Vice President Quayle and his wife. And I could see she recognizes me. And she gets up and she extends her hand. Oh, Joey, so good to see you. Let me introduce you to the vice president. So Vice President Quayle stands up and she says, Mr. Vice President, this is Joe Britannia. He was the goalie in Love Story. And I'm thinking to myself, that's it? I mean, that's my life has been reduced to that. And I shook the vice president's hand and went back to my table at that point.
Bill Cleary, the one with the hearty laugh, is enshrined in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. 3 years ago, he and his wife went to see Love Letters, a play starring Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill.
And it was great. Ryan and Ally were terrific.
After the show, Cleary went backstage.
So I went up to the fellow at the stage door, and I explained to him how I did the skating for Ryan. I said, I don't know if he wants to say hello.
Cleary says he hadn't spoken with O'Neill since he scolded him way back in December of 1969. But Ryan O'Neill emerged, smiling.
He said, do I remember the time you chewed my out? Now, that's how many years ago. And he can still remember it.
Well, you got your point across.
I think I made the point. He was so nice. I was pleasantly surprised.
Maybe Bill Cleary shouldn't have been surprised, because after all,
love means never having to say you're sorry.
I just had to end the story with that. I'm sorry.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Right. I'll try to remember that.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach.